All right, it is my pleasure to welcome in a former colleague, Nate Conley. He's a host with WFNZ 610, The Fan, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And unlike me and unlike any of my other guests the previous couple of days discussing the Colin Kaepernick situation, Nate did have the honor of serving our country from March of 2007 through 2008. He did 15 months in Iraq. And so, obviously, Nate, you have slightly different feelings about this Colin Kaepernick situation than other people who say might not have a skin in the game. So just straight up, when you saw the gesture and heard his press conference afterward, what were some of your initial reactions?
Yeah, I think initially, you know, it was just kind of a, you know, I don't even know if it really became too much of a story before Saturday morning, you know. I guess, you know, and even in the wake of the story coming out, I guess he had sat for the first two preseason games, and no one really had noticed. So,
right, which is yeah, a statement as where he is as a quarterback right now. I think that it took till game three.
He wasn't dressed. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I was up Saturday morning. I saw Steve Weiss tweeting about, "Hey, I have an article coming about why Colin Kaepernick chose to sit for the national anthem," and sort of read that. And I think initially, you know, I felt that immediate connection to just as a service member and what that elicits in me and the emotions and things to my service. And at the same time, it's sort of, you have to take a step back, and at the same time, you may feel slighted or disrespected in some fashion that he might not be able to give that sort of same respect or honor, even though he says this has nothing to do, you know, in subsequent interviews with the Army or taking a stand against the military. You know, you also have to understand that as a person who did fight for this country, defended its rights and freedoms, that I support his ability and right to do whatever he would like to do when it comes to that regard. But I also kind of disagree with the act and the method itself, if you listen to the message that he's trying to preach afterwards. So I think, to me, more than anything, it's a matter of ineffectivity. And, you know, in subsequent messages, and you heard in the interviews, and if you were listening, you know, he says he wants to try and promote unity and, you know, other things, that we need to come together. And it just feels like such an act that, even of itself, whatever his intentions are, that is so divisive. So to me, it just felt like initially, I'm not sure all the messages that he was saying necessarily lined up with the action itself of sitting for the national anthem. And I didn't see how that particularly could do anything in terms of positively affecting outcome and change with the social injustices that he was apparently sitting down, you know, for the national anthem.
Yeah, and you touched on the fact that he said nothing about the military other than it wasn't about the military for him. I mean, if you listen to his press conference, it was about police treatment of minorities. That seemed to be the main issue that he had. Right. After being overly general and saying that minorities were oppressed in this country, he focused more specifically on police work. And I guess where I'm a little bit confused is, why is the national anthem immediately then associated with veterans and veteran issues? So someone who is a veteran, why is it that national anthem is so strongly connected to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, symbolically can mean different things to different peoples, and so that's something I respect as well. And you know, if there are differing viewpoints, and it's one of the things that I believe this country is great, and one of the reasons I was willing to defend it and the freedoms and go to fight for that is we have just as much of a right to disagree. And, you know, as long as we can respect each other's opinions and, you know, in a matter of debate, then doesn't mean anyone's necessarily right or wrong, which is, you know, that's not ultimately the case, but we always don't always reach a conclusion and have a winning side, as, you know, if we're on sports radio, you know, sort of equating it to that.
Yeah, my producer actually is grading it. You don't hear the ding-ding in the background, but he's awarding points to either of us. It's like around the horn right now.
Yeah, so to me, though, I understand why people don't necessarily draw those parallels if they don't have similar experiences for me. But I also think it would be naive to say that, to not see how people do it. I mean, when you have the American flag being spread across the field, oftentimes held by either active service duty members or wounded warriors, or, you know, those sort of people being honored, you know, pregame in those sorts of environments. I mean, the connection to me is pretty easy to see, even though the anthem itself might not be geared towards that. So I think that's why you see the level of people saying, hey, this is sort of disrespectful to those who have served. That is our time to honor, you know, the people who are giving us these rights to play the game of football, you know, sort of just taking a little bit of time out before they do that. So I can understand people don't make that connection, but I think there are a lot of people who do make that connection.
He is Nate Conley, a sports talk host with 610 The Fan, WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina. He also served this country in Iraq for 15 months in 2007 and 2008. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is SB Nation Radio. Nate, I think one thing that everybody agrees on, the story has brought up, is that veterans in this country are not treated with the level of esteem and care that they should, given everything that they risk. And so if we move past the national anthem, and you have a little bit of a soapbox here, you have an ability to reach people, you know, how are there any things that you wish that veterans could have in this country? Or if someone listening saying, you know, how can I help veterans? You know, what comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always ways to improve everything. I mean, and in that message that Colin Kaepernick presented sort of afterwards, if you know, in wake of his protest, I thought, you know, there's some things I still disagree with within his message and maybe even delivery. But I think, you know, that's something that obviously is worthy of awareness and should have attention brought to it when we talk about those sorts of social injustices. And it's not acceptable. And, you know, this country is not perfect. I think like the VA and Veterans Affairs and things as well, there's plenty of room for improvement in that regard. I mean, I am also a disabled veteran, so you know, I was hurt and injured when I got out, and so there were some aspects of it that I noticed could certainly use some improvement. And but I think overall, it my experience was overall positive, but I know that hasn't been the case for everyone. I've also fought beside a lot of guys who came back with more severe injuries than I ever sustained, and they've had difficult times doing it. I wish that wasn't the case. I'm not sure in terms of, you know, complete solutions as to how we go about that and improving that, but, you know, in terms of just maybe it is in government, you know, raising as much awareness as we can, trying to provide as citizens now who are grateful for those people that are serving and do sacrifice so much, figure out what we can do as individuals, maybe to provide whatever resources we can to help those of us around us who may be struggling with from, you know, whatever organizations might not be able to reach every single one they need to.
Absolutely. And Nate, we're going to ask you at least one Panthers question while we got you on the line. You're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Certainly the Panthers are a team with high expectations after going 15-1 last season. So if they don't end up in that 12-13 win plus mix in contending for a Super Bowl, if there is sort of a flaw that exposes them this season, what would that be?
It's got to be immediately you look to the defensive side of football, and I think you look in the secondary. You lost Josh Norman. You know, this is not news to anyone. First team All-Pro was a big, big part of what they were able to accomplish last year. He goes and gets the money after they rescind the franchise tag, which I think was one of the more shocking things of the offseason. Mm-hmm. And then in the draft, taking three cornerbacks with their five picks, three rookie guys that they're going to have to rely heavily upon this season. So really kind of that lack of experience. Kirk Coleman, who was great for them last year. You lose Roman Harper, you lose Charles Tillman. Just a lot of experience, and they might be younger, they might be more athletic, but sometimes it's hard to find a substitute for those sorts of things that those guys are bringing to the table. So I think just initially that's the exact point that you locate as potential. And I think intertwined with that, you know, and it goes hand in hand, is, you know, the defensive front. Defensive end has been sort of an inconsistent position, and if you're unable to get consistent pass rush from the opposing quarterback, if they can get comfortable back there, it looks like there could be some holes to expose there within that secondary.
All right, guys, he is Nate Conley. You can check him out on Twitter at Nathan Conley, sports talk show host in Charlotte, also a proud veteran who served our country for 15 months in Iraq. Nate, thank you so much for that, and also thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, man. Hey, it was good catching up.